Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
The border's in crisis, and I think every American looks at what's happening with a 200% increase in people coming through. 14,000 children were unaccompanied last month, Harris. I can't even imagine the atrocities they're facing, along with the sweltering heat and coming unaccompanied, an 800% increase of fentanyl coming across our Texas border. We know we have an overdose problem in this country, and our border is porous. Kamala Harris is sending a clear message. She doesn't care. She doesn't want to hear it. She doesn't care. She's not calling Governor Abbott. She knows she's in charge. And this is an issue she's just decided to turn a blind eye to. And people are suffering as a result.
Truly, indeed, they are. Hey, welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry this week, all week long here at 97.1 FM Talk. I played that because some of you may have forgotten about the catastrophe at the border only because the media won't cover it. They'll only cover it when they feel like there's nothing else to do. But the fact that it's an ongoing dumpster fire is absolutely the case. And there's the chairwoman of the Republican Party pointing that out. It's in crisis. And you got to wonder why it is a crisis. It is a catastrophe. You can go down and talk to Democrats who are congressmen and women along that southern border, like Congressman Cuellar, and they'll tell you what a crisis is. Governor Greg Abbott has declared a state of emergency and has decided he's going to build his own border wall down there. They're going to use their own funds, and they're going to have a huge down payment towards it. President Trump announced, I believe yesterday or the day before, he's going to go visit the border. That'll be a media circus that we'll all welcome because finally there'll be some cameras on the border. So welcome to the Annie Fry Show. I'm here with Ryan Wiggins, of course. Ryan, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Good to see you again. Good week. It's been fun.
I see you're Captain Freedom today.
I am. Is this Captain America?
It's Captain America.
I think that's what that is. Yeah. I'm so out of Marvel that I'm like, yeah. I think that's, I'm wearing a Marvel shirt.
Did you steal that from Gabe Pfeiffer?
No. This was a gift from Annie, actually.
Oh, yes, well, Gabe Pfeiffer wears the Marvel stuff all the time.
Yes, he does. And Star Wars, doesn't he?
Yes.
Star Wars.
Katie, how you doing?
I'm good. How about you, Tim? Beautiful afternoon.
Hot.
This whole week, I told Ryan this earlier, every single day has felt like Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday have all felt like Thursday. Today is actually Thursday, and it feels like Friday. So I've been disappointed every single week is what I'm trying to tell you about.
I'm not sure if I should be exhausted or happy right now.
Yeah.
With every day being Thursday.
Tomorrow, we'll see what it's like because Katie won't be here. She'll think it's Saturday and she won't show up.
I'm sleeping in, boys. I'm not coming in. I got my Saturday plans.
Very good. Yeah. And you got to wonder. So the next question is, why are Joe Biden and Kamala Harris turning a blind eye to the border? That's the question I think they'll ask sometimes, and they do, I think on the Big Fox, OAN, Newsmax, conservative talk radio across the United States of America, but not on CNN, I always say MSDNC, so it's in my head now, so MSDNC, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the LA Times, go down the list, the Huffington Post, you know, center, you know, maybe center left, you'll maybe get a little discussion on the border, but you go to the left wing lunacy and their sphere of influence, and they may mention that there's some humanitarian issues at the border, but then they quickly move back on back in time to January 6th. Did you see the big news coming out of the left today is that there's another investigation that's revealed some more answers about January 6th. I could give a flying you-know-what and everything else about January 6th. I know everything that happened on January 6th. You know why? Because I watched it on television.
Yeah.
You know?
It was live during the show. We covered it. We talked to people who were there. And it was over. Like, we were watching it happen. We all watched it happen. And we were all just mouth agape.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
How crazy is this? Mm-hmm. And then to still be talking about it in June, like it's still a threat to the government, as if it even was that day.
And doesn't it bother you that we've learned so many truths about that day and debunked so many myths, but yet like they were with the COVID-19 pandemic for 18 months, the media and the national leftist intelligentsia get stuck on start, right? Like they. The media was terrified, like the rest of us, of COVID-19 on day one, but they remained terrified as if every day was the first day of COVID-19 until suddenly, have you noticed? Poof, it's kind of gone. Every day was an emergency, according to Gavin Newsom and Mario, he was the governor before Andrew. Andrew Cuomo, you know, his father, Mario Cuomo, was the governor mm-hmm. before him. Every day was an emergency for Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo and here in St. Louis for Dr. Sam Page. Not so much for Lyda Crewson. She actually was fairly normal about it. She took things in stride, I thought, much better than Page. Every day was an emergency until suddenly Sam Page, earlier this week, did you see what he did? He terminated the Monday morning press conferences.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Relinquished all the emergency orders now that he got slapped across the face by the Missouri legislature. And it's all gone.
Well, that just shows you what was leading his quote-unquote science, and that's basically Washington, D.C., because they also just stopped their briefings. So I guess he decided, well, we should probably stop ours now because, you know, whatever's happening in Washington, D.C. is what's happening in St. Louis County.
They kind of threw in the towel.
Yeah.
They're like, you know... Crap, nobody's freaked out. Anybody freaked out anymore? Nobody's freaked out anymore. All right, emergency over. Hey, next crisis? You know?
Is it the Delta variant? Is that going to be the next crisis? See, my wife texted me yesterday saying, find out this for me, because everybody's yelling about this now, and they're talking about schools. Oh, it's going to affect kids so much more. Going back into August, she's afraid that that's going to be the narrative.
Here's the bad news on that, Ryan. I don't think it's working, and that may be a bad thing because, I don't know, here's the problem. I don't know if the Delta variant is good, bad, or ugly, but they've cried wolf so many times mm-hmm. for the last 18 months, and then Fauci's emails come out 2 weeks ago, and people are like, wait a minute. So the first thing he told us about masks was actually the true thing? What was all the other stuff? Wait a minute. It didn't live on surfaces? Why did I Clorox my lettuce? You know?
Well, that's what I told her. I said, the numbers now, honey, are so low.
Yeah.
They're back to the cases and deaths are back to the levels they were in March 2020. So I just don't, like, you can yell all you want, but I think people are going to constantly be pointing back to those numbers now and going, eh.
And that's a problem because what if there is, and there could, as long as there's a Wuhan Institute of Virology around, yeah. There could be another pandemic at some point, right? They all seem to come. Not all. I shouldn't say all. Okay. I'm not a bigot. Well, according to Twitter, I am. We know Twitter's the truth.
Well, if Twitter says
I only speak the truth.
So how many viruses in my lifetime have emanated from some portion of Asia, more specifically some portion of China, more specifically some portion of Wuhan? There have been several strains of the coronaviruses that have come from that part of the world. Now, they've come from other parts of the world, too. But like Jon Stewart said earlier this week, the liberal comedian, he said, now, wait a minute. It's named for the place from whence it came, you know? So stop saying it's racist to call it the Wuhan coronavirus, because that's what we used to do up until it wasn't woke. Or it's now you got to be woke and you can't call a virus from whence it originates. So yeah. my whole point here is, if and when, and I hope never again, but it could, something bad happens regarding a viral pandemic, has our trust in government been so damaged with what they've done over the last 18 months that we may not believe them about Delta variants or anything else?
It's going to be really tough. If we ever have another coronavirus situation, it's going to be so tough because the information coming out of the CDC has now been tainted. We all believed them at the beginning of this because it was the CDC. You know, they were untouchable. They were scientists and they weren't affected by politics. Well, now we've gone through this whole process where they were affected by politics. And they've even, I think you played sound yesterday, they acknowledged that they were affected by politics.
Yeah.
So how are we? Who do you trust?
The former CDC director, which is what we played yesterday, he is the guy that was like,
yeah,
this is supposed to be science. And I've always had faith that science is science and there would be no politics or playing with the facts that come from science. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened with this, the Wuhan lab theory.
And good for him.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to get ahead of exactly what, Tim, you were just talking about. We need to regain trust. We as a people want to trust them, and they have to do damage control now. And I'm glad that he's actually out there saying that.
Shifting gears for a second, do y'all remember Denis Kucinich?
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was a radical,
far left
for his day. He was a radical socialist. He was the Bernie Sanders of the House.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Denis Kucinich. Fox used to have him on as a contributor all the time. To kind of have a whack-a-bird on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he was pretty good. I actually enjoyed listening to him.
I did, too.
He was kooky, but he could really make sense.
Exactly. No, I know what you mean.
He would make crazy talk sound, like, normal.
Yeah.
He'd be like, well, with a straight face, Denis Kucinich was like, well, what's wrong with a 90% tax rate? He defended his socialism.
Yes, he did.
He really did.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute. No, like, that is crazy. Yeah.
But you sound like a nice guy, though.
Yeah. So Denis Kucinich is a former congressman from Ohio, representing the Cleveland area, and eclectic dude, like really wacky, but yet every once in a while, he was so far left that every once in a while, somebody like Rand Paul would would agree with him on something. Very much populism.
Right.
You know? I don't know what this shows, but I think it shows how far the left has gone since Denis Kucinich, who used to be considered one of the furthest left dudes in the U.S. House of Congress. He's running for mayor of Cleveland.
Okay.
And you want to hear this is his platform. You're not going to believe this, but it's true. I am not reading off The Onion or the Babylon Bee. This is from news5cleveland.com, okay? Former Congressman, Liberal Democrat Denis Kucinich announces bid for Cleveland mayor. Here's a quote from his platform. As mayor, I will hire 400 additional police, build up the homicide unit, the scientific investigation unit, and the gang unit. Huh? You can't run as a Democrat and say that these days in urban America.
You know, there's a theme this week.
Uh-huh.
Traditional liberals sounding more sane.
And the leftist would say, liberals gone wild.
Right.
You know? So I just thought that was an interesting nugget because that's another topic we've talked about quite a bit this week is the insanity of defunding the police and urban crime, which has turned basically into urban warfare. We've got a great show in store for you here today. I am really excited, Katie, that you guys have. Do you guys always have Dr. Marty on?
Nope, this is our first time.
This is great. Mm-hmm. Dr. Marty Makary. Mm-hmm. I've seen him on the Big Fox, professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, author of the new book, The Price We Pay. We're going to talk about childhood vaccinations, the Wuhan Lab Leak hypothesis, COVID-19, how accurate are the... That's the Ryan, you said that yesterday. How accurate are the numbers?
Here we go.
That's the next domino that may fall. Natural immunity? I want to ask him about that because they only talk about vaccinations.
Yes.
What about all the people that have already had COVID-19? Here's another question I want to ask him. Nobody's ever been able... I've heard nobody discuss this. Are some people immune to COVID-19? Like, period, the end. Like, from the stand? Like, we talked about the stand.
Mm-hmm. Like, certain blood types, certain whatever.
Already have
like, you already have immunity.
Or if you get exposed, do you get it asymptomatically or symptomatically? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or do you, or can you, or are there people that are shielded from the disease completely? You know?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him that as well. In the 1 o'clock hour, Planet Tyrus joins us. Tyrus, Fox Nation host of Nuff Said. He's also all over the Fox News products. In the 2 o'clock hour, Captain Brent Sadler from the Heritage Foundation and Kevin Wheeler with a little sports update. All that straight ahead on the Annie Fry Show. Tim Jones in the Big Chair today here at 97.1 FM Talk.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
A few days ago, up to 12, and now it's up to 19 different things where we were accused, and it turned out to be absolutely false, whether it's the Wuhan lab, the good old Wuhan lab. When I mentioned that, it was like a firestorm. Hydroxychloroquine, now great reviews are coming out on that. They didn't want to see it. I mean, creating a lot of problems and death, frankly, death. And they were willing to do that in order to try and take shots. But it's all coming in. I think the people understand it. I think that in many ways we're stronger now than ever before. They understand the deception and the horror that these people put this country through. It's really very sad, actually.
Yeah, there's the president who was on the Big Fox last night with Sean Hannity. I listened to a great part of that interview. Boy, I tell you, President Trump, he should just print out T-shirts, you know, everything I was right about, and just run the list, and maybe on the back, miss me yet, you know, because I think a lot of people are wondering, where are we going with this Biden-Harris administration? If you watched the coverage, as best as the media tried to cover for him on the international stage, I think most of us, at the very least, even if you're a defender of President Biden, you're scratching your head going, what was that all about?
Yeah, what is this?
What
a bunch of nice pictures.
Yeah, well, how nice? Geneva. Yeah. Geneva in June, you know?
Well, I tell you what, it's nice having it on the TV because there's some really nice backgrounds
there
we've
really
been watching
is.
Lately.
It makes me want to go.
Me too.
Let's bring in our next guest, talk about so many of the things that President Donald J. Trump was correct about that I'll bet you Dr. Marty McCary might agree with. Dr. Marty McCary joins us now, professor, Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, Bloomberg School of Public Health, editor of MedPage, author of the, wow, New York Times bestseller, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. Dr. McCary, welcome to the Annie Fry Show. I'm Tim Jones. I'm in because Annie Fry is out on some medical leave of her own. She had our fourth child last week, so there we go.
Wow, great. And Ryan, is he also there?
Yep, Ryan is here.
I am. Hello.
Yes, he is.
Great. Tim and Ryan, great to be with you guys.
Yeah, great to be with you today. So, Dr. Marty, tell me about the book. Is the book about the pandemic, or is it something you were writing before the pandemic, or what is the basic hypothesis of The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare?
The book is The Business of Medicine 101. It's basically a way to understand healthcare, like The Big Short book allowed you to, or movie allowed you to understand financial services. And it's about the redesign of care. And it's exciting. I love the stories that I was able to profile of disruptors. But it has now a section in this new paperback book that looks back on COVID at all of our failed medical leadership and where we go from here. Mm. Because as you know, I've been deeply involved in every aspect of COVID from the beginning.
Yes, I see you quite a bit up on the Big Tube, and really enjoy watching you and listening to you, trying to instill some just some common sense and try to deal with the fear factor that the media. Dr. Marty, let me ask you about that. Do you believe that the media, the big national legacy media largely, did a huge disservice to America? It seems like they wanted us all to absolutely hyperventilate every single day with whatever was currently on tragedy TV about the pandemic.
Well, the major mainstream media is the reason that we had such a horrible pandemic response for a lot of it. For example, a bunch of us doctors were running around saying, hey, this is going to be really bad. We have to start our contingency planning. What's happening in Italy is going to happen in the United States. And we were largely ignored because we couldn't compete with Dr. Fauci on TV 12 hours a day with the media giving him this title. I don't know how you get this title. The nation's top infectious diseases doctor. How do you get that title like that?
Who gave him committee. That medal? Who gave him that medal? I've always wondered.
Well, he was not sounding the alarm like many of us. And then all of a sudden it was like the second coming of the Messiah. It was like the rapture, like run to the groceries, get your groceries, where are your kids? You know, Bobby is stuck overseas. He can't get a flight. And it's like, Dr. Fauci, hey, a little help over the last 2 months when we were trying to warn the country would have been appreciated. And then say you're sorry. You know, I'm a doctor. People appreciate the honesty. When you say I made a mistake, I'm sorry.
Dr. McCarr, are you saying that that he went kind of the wrong way at the wrong times? Like, I haven't heard anybody talk about the fact that he was kind of MIA at the beginning of COVID. Although, you know, kind of memory serves that was kind of true. You know, he was taking it pretty lightly early on, as were all the politicians. But then did he go the other direction and he was keeping things too serious and too closed when the rest of you were saying, okay, now it's time to ease up?
Before the 15 days to stop the spread, before that time, he was basically saying nothing about the pandemic hitting this country. We saw the tsunami about to hit us. Mm-hmm. And we're like, start the contingency planning. We already have community transmission and patients all over that are not being diagnosed because the regulators did not let hospitals do their own lab testing. And so there's this silent epidemic seeding around the country. We were sounding the alarm. And Dr. Fauci, now to his credit, because he has good intentions, he's a nice gentleman, he saw SARS in 2003 just poop out in China, never mm-hmm. really came to the U.S., mm-hmm. and he hedged his bet, and he gave assurances, and his email log now shows all of these companies, the NFL, everyone, begging him for some direction, and he didn't provide it because he just didn't think it was going to be, you know, what it was. So right up until the lockdowns, he was on, I think it was CNN, all these networks that just ran him incessantly saying, he said, look, if you're older, I would avoid going on a cruise right now. That's all he said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking to Dr. Marty McCarry, and he is a professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, author of the brand new book, updated paperback, is out, New York Times bestseller, The Price We Pay, The Problems with Healthcare in Our Nation. Dr. Marty, let's talk about some of the issues, some of the current issues regarding COVID. So I want to talk to you about origins. I remember I was actually in Washington, D.C. I this is etched in my brain because I remember it was late February. It was my last trip to D.C. in 2020. Actually, I was there at the end of 2020. I was in D.C. It was February, and Senator Tom Cotton was on the TV that morning before I left the house that I was staying at up there. And he was talking about the Chinese and the Wuhan lab and how we really need to look into this. And then I know he was advising the president, and within a few days, President Trump was talking about shutting down travel from China. And from that point until like 3 weeks ago, Dr. Marty, anytime anybody talked about the Wuhan lab or the origins of the virus or the Communist Chinese Party's involvement, we were all called a bunch of racists and xenophobes and so on and so forth. And now suddenly, I don't know what happened. The mainstream media suddenly is now talking about Wuhan lab leaks when the rest of us have been trying to talk about it for 18 months. Would you tell our audience why is it important to talk about the origins of this disease or any viral pandemic that invades the globe?
Well, we've got to respect each other's opinions when people have different ideas. It's healthy. It's good for the country. It's good for science. Tom Cotton was out there early. I said on Fox News in April of last year at the beginning of the pandemic that an infected lab worker was patient zero and went to that local hospital 5 miles away. That was obvious then. It's even more overwhelming now. But it's important because we have in science, we have two camps, just like you might have Republicans and Democrats in politics. In the virology world, there's pro-gain of function and anti-gain of function. And the community is split. Dr. Fauci is very much a member of the pro gain of function research group. He gave lectures in universities talking about the value of gain of function research. We have to crush that. Well, that needs to stop. The risks of messing with Mother Nature are far greater. Their thought was, oh, you might be able to figure out a treatment if there's a pandemic in the future. And it's like, no, you run the risk of creating a pandemic. So that's why I think we need to settle that issue.
Dr. Makary is a professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and author of the new book, The Price We Pay. Let me just go down the list and ask you some of these sort of remaining big COVID questions. Kids and vaccinations, that's in the news, but I imagine is going to be more and more as we start to look at school at the end of this summer. Where do you stand on that?
Okay, here's the deal with kids. Kids should only get one dose of the two-dose vaccines for COVID-19, because the second dose right now has some complications that the CDC does not have a handle on. They're having an emergency meeting tomorrow, but these heart inflammation complications like pericarditis are clustered right after the second dose. The first dose is extremely effective, okay? And if you had the infection in the past, you don't need anything. Ignoring natural immunity is one of the greatest failures of our medical leadership. So that's the deal for kids. And any college or school that requires the two-dose regimen for a kid is going to be hurting kids from that blanket requirement.
Well, let me follow up on that with you real quick, too, because we on this show, we've talked about that a lot, the whole vaccination versus natural immunity. Two of us on this show have had COVID. Tim has not, that he knows of.
That
anyway.
I know of.
He may
I don't
have,
know.
We don't know. And, you know, so two of us have had natural immunity since October and December, respectively. And we just keep saying, you know, is there a reason for us to get the vaccine?
Well, no, there's no benefit to it based on the current science. There's also probably no harm to one dose. So some people are saying, I'll just do one dose. But here's the reality is that the immune system works. And when you get the infection, guess what? You get the antibodies and you get the memory T cells and memory B cells. And new research out of the Cleveland Clinic and Washington University that I summarized last week in the Wall Street Journal in a piece called The Power of Natural Immunity, it's clear that people who had the infection do not go on to die of COVID from a second infection. They barely have any rates. There were zero out of 1,300 people that developed infection subsequently. And of those that had natural immunity, the added vaccine added nothing. It provided no additional benefit.
Okay, so one more follow-up just medically, just because we've talked to a doctor every Monday throughout the COVID season and asked this question a couple times, and I want to ask the same of you. If you've had COVID, can you get COVID again, and can you get it worse the second time?
Gosh, I've never heard of anyone getting it worse, but you can always get COVID if you have natural immunity. If you have vaccinated immunity, there's a very small chance of what we call a breakthrough infection, and the vast majority of those are very mild. As a matter of fact, almost all of them are asymptomatic. That is, you don't get sick, you don't transmit it, you just have a virus show up in your nose because you were exposed to it. But if we just keep hyper-testing people who are immune, you're going to find a virus particle in somebody's nose. That doesn't mean there's a public health threat. And so we've got to stop PCR testing those who are already immune and have no symptoms. Otherwise, you can make this pandemic go forever. Mm. You can go in perpetuity.
Absolutely. Dr. Marty, one last question. I've been wanting to ask somebody like you for so long, and I don't know if I've not thought of it, but I thought of it today. Is there any studies out there yet or any evidence that there are any human beings on the planet that are just flat out immune to COVID-19? They can't get it asymptomatically, symptomatically. Is that possible? Is that a thing? Or if anybody's exposed to this viral contagion, they're going to get it in some way, either asymptomatically or symptomatically.
I haven't seen anything about people who can't get it. We have seen an association with some blood types, which it's really not the blood type that's protecting you. It's the blood type is an indicator of your other genetic components that you may have a genetic protection. It's not a full protection. Some people think like everyone in the world is either going to get the infection or get the vaccine. You really can't, you know, avoid it. But there's a lot of people who have an asymptomatic exposure and have some immunity. People who live with somebody who had the infection and they never got sick. Chances are they have immunity from passive exposure.
Fantastic. Such a rational discussion about COVID-19. I really enjoyed it. Dr. Marty, I could talk to you for another hour, but the clock won't let me. I really appreciate you coming on with us today. Folks, check out the book, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. The paperback's got a brand new chapter in it about the COVID-19 pandemic. Dr. Marty, with a lot of great common sense here. at Marty Makary on Twitter. Dr. Marty, hoping to have you back again sometime on our airwaves. Thanks for joining us today.
Would love to. Thank you, Tim and Ryan. Appreciate it. Yeah,
thank you. There he goes. Ryan, that's
good stuff.
That was great having him on. I've seen him on the TV. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just medical discussions. Like we talk about with Dr. Hardiman.
You guys have Hardiman on
yes.
every week.
And yeah. Dr. Hardiman the entire time, God bless Dr. Hardiman, has been so sane and so rational and so calm throughout this whole entire experience. Same thing that I feel like we got from the good doctor there.
Yeah, I would pick up the paperback. It's a New York Times bestseller, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It, Dr. Marty Makary. And we'll be back with lots more. Tim Jones, Ryan Wiggins, Katie, here on the Annie Fry Show. In the 2 o'clock hour, again, we've got Tyrus, Planet Tyrus, joining us at 107. That's in the 1 o'clock hour. In the 2 o'clock hour, Captain Brent Sadler and Kevin Wheeler, KMWX sports reporter, with a little update on sports. The Redbirds have definitely turned things around. We'll give you an update on that as well. Hey, it is 12:41. We're going to head to a break here. We're back with lots more, including your phone calls if you'd like to place them. Anything that Dr. Marty said that piqued your interest, 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. All that straight ahead here on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident he'll change his behavior. What do you do all the time? So when did I say I was confident?
You said in the next 6 months.
I said, what I said was, let's get it straight. I said what will change their behavior is that the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating the fact.
I'm not confident of anything. That was the most clairvoyant episode he's had in a while.
It's funny because if Trump says that, you'd be like, hey, he's a straight shooter. When Biden says it, just the mannerism in which he says it, you're like, yeah, I believe him. I see you saying that all the time.
Yeah, it kind of terrifies
me. It's your body language.
Yeah, it kind of terrifies me. Yeah. You know, so he's obviously not running anything. Kamala can't be found. So maybe she's the woman behind the curtain, like running everything, but I just don't know. It's almost like she doesn't care. I think Kamala likes the idea of being important, but like really doesn't want to do any work.
Do you get the sense that she was surprised by being made the border czar and
yes.
the whatever, was she the COVID czar now?
Yes.
I don't even know. Like that
yeah.
she was like, oh, I am? Oh, that's news to me. Which would indicate that she's not really running things.
She's the vaccine czar now, right?
Is that yeah, something like
Isn't
that.
Isn't she supposed to encourage more people to get the vaccine now? That's her latest thing. And I think she's in charge of like 3 or 4 other things too. Does she know this is coming or do they just announce it and she just has to deal with it?
Right, that's the question. Which seems like the vaccine thing, that actually seems like a vice presidential role. You know,
yeah.
Go out and do, you know,
yes.
like a PR type stuff, you know. And
yeah.
I would say Mike Pence actually did more kind of weighty stuff as vice president than most vice presidents do.
But I feel like, you know, it's so funny. Basically, whatever, I hate to have to say this because I've always been a big defender of the First Amendment. And part of the First Amendment is having a free and fair press. But then when you have a media like ours on the national level, I'm talking the legacy media, anybody on the center left, and not even the center left, anybody on the left side of the media, which is most of them. That's the unfortunate thing. Most of the media, for whatever reason, I don't know, they were dropped on their heads at birth. I don't know what happened to them, but they all speak from the same playbook. And it's this, it's become a very, you know, you can say they hated Trump, but it's almost become an anti-American mantra at this point. And I don't want them to cheerlead for the government either. I don't want them to cheerlead for Uncle Sam. I want them to call balls and strikes. I see very little reporting. In fact, some of the best ball and strike calling, and I'll, look, I will also admit who is a commentator versus a news reporter. And I think I have a really good intuition as to that. Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, yeah, they're definitely coming from a different ideological vantage point. But it's three different vantage points. I feel like Sean Hannity is like, he's extremely pro-Trump, and he doesn't hide it.
He's a party guy.
Laura Ingraham comes from a, I shouldn't even say traditional. Laura Ingraham comes from a pure conservative, I was going to say conservatarian, like conservative libertarian slant.
Mm-hmm.
And Tucker is your libertarian populist. Okay. Mm-hmm. The news people, I think Shannon Bream is one of the folks that like just is one of the most objective people I've ever seen lately on any news station.
That is exactly what I need.
Yeah.
Fox.
Yeah.
Wow.
Despite that, I'm glad you say that because Shannon Bream, I think, doesn't get enough attention for that. She's one of those that's always kind of there and doing a good job, but nobody ever acknowledges her.
You know who else is excellent is Martha McCallum. But I will admit, Martha McCallum has a center-right edge to her, but I think she comes at, it's her questioning. She calls leftism into question, but she's not doing it unfairly. Because I think, I'm sorry, somebody would have to really convince me, a traditional center-right philosophy, I think, is a philosophy of sanity. I'm sorry, you know? Because you take the left's extremes, and they don't work if you were to put them into application.
That's,
like a 90% tax rate would destroy the United States of America as a functioning democratic republic. You know,
and that's where it's most evident, and that's where you can make we can talk about social issues a lot, but it's harder to come at like objectively
fiscal issues.
You really can say, look, here's the facts. When you implement socialism, you get more people on the public dole. You take away a tax base. And so more and more people have to get on the public dole, which takes away more and more people from the tax base. It's a downward spiral. Like, these are logical arguments that don't seem to penetrate into sort of the woke mind, because the facade looks so nice that, man, if I could go next year without having to work, that'd be great. Well, yeah, that's fine. But we're not talking about next year. We're talking about for the rest of the generations to come after you. It won't work. And it doesn't get to that point.
And I'm also not a believer in pure bipartisanship. Like, when they say, oh, we need to have bipartisanship, I'm a believer in bipartisanship that has a conservative base to it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if Democrats are willing to come along with me on something, as long as it's kind of got some seeds of the Republican conservative platform, I'm good with it. And I'll explain to you why. If you go to the extremes of what conservatives stand for versus what liberals stand for, the extreme of liberalism turns into leftism, which turns into socialism, which turns into communism, which turns into oppression and death. I'm sorry. That's what it becomes. It becomes totalitarian, and it becomes more government control and less freedom and liberty. The extreme of conservatism turns into the ultimate of libertarianism of freedom. Now, some may say if you take it to the ultimate extreme, it could be anarchy.
Anarchy, yeah.
But I say it's ultimate freedom and liberty. And there's nothing wrong with ultimate freedom and liberty.
Well,
so you got to have a government construct on it. So I'm okay with government bipartisanship as long as the foundation of that has some roots in a conservatarian philosophy.
Even if you do make the argument that the extreme of libertarianism is anarchy, that's not, we've never practically seen that happen. We are practically seeing the other side happen. We're seeing us slip more and more into socialism, communism. So the extremes, yeah, like theoretically you can say, well, here's the extreme of one, here's the extreme of the other. But one of them we're actually seeing happen, and the other one we would not. Like, conservatives would never keep going down the road of libertarianism
Lord of the
so
flies.
Much that you're like,
Lord of the
every
flies.
Man for himself,
yeah.
grab a torch.
Kill the pig.
Would it be Animal Farm versus Lord of the Flies?
Oh, great reference.
Yeah. Would it be?
How long has it been since you read Animal Farm?
A long time. I don't know if I've read the whole thing. I think I've read big chunks of it. But
that's a great book. You know, I highly recommend it.
Does the left see some of the irony in the things they propose? For instance, Jennifer Lawrence, right? She bugs me because she literally was in a movie called The Hunger Games about the ultimate totalitarianism of the ruling class. Does she not understand that that's the party she subscribes to?
No.
That she was fighting against in the movie?
They don't see
it. Does she get it?
No, they don't see it. In fact, I've argued with some left, you know, kind of Hollywood people on Twitter randomly. I don't know how. Like, I don't know if people don't follow them who are conservative, but I'll sort of poke that button every now and then, and they'll fight me back. And it's like we're just talking different languages. You know, if you say, hey, you know, this isn't going to work. The FBI, they'll say, the FBI is really worried about white supremacists. And you go, but look at the streets. Like, look at last summer. They go, no, that's not real. What the FBI is saying is real.
Mm. Russell just called in, but I'm out of time. Russell, if you can hang on, I've got Planet Tyrus coming up at 105. Russell wants to talk about no work, no Social Security. I kind of like that point. If you can hang on, Russell, through this next segment, love to go to you. But I'm out of time right now. You can hear the music. Yeah, I understand those cues. That's right. Hey, we've got Planet Tyrus coming up next. Tyrus up here on the Annie Fry Show right after our quick top of the hour break. We'll be back with lots more of the Annie Fry Show. Happy to take more of your phone calls. I think Mike is calling in as well. All that and more straight ahead here at 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.